WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
There's some nervous people at public and private schools across our viewing area today. The online threats that prompted an increase in security on numerous campuses.
And our chance for rain, it continues to go down. It's just 20% chance on Saturday and Sunday, but it isn't a zero chance. We'll walk through when you could see some isolated showers.
And millions around the world are preparing to tune in to the coronation of King Charles III. We'll share a few of the customs featured, some dating back more than 1,000 years.
Many public and private schools across the state are stepping up security because of a social media threat. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Schools in Wake, Johnston, and Chatham counties have been notified about the post and are responding to it. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the Wake County Public Schools office in Cary with what we're learning about this threat. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, a spokesperson for Wake County Public Schools says the tip line here continues to get calls from parents and people in the community who have seen this post. It is a post made on social media. It is vague. It doesn't mention any schools, but it does talk about a threat for violence and mentions today's date here. Now, it was put out to schools across the country, people seeing it all over the state and in schools all across the country on alert because of this. Now, we received messages from parents at schools in Wake County, Johnston County, and Chatham County, both parents and students of public and private schools. Wake County Public Schools says that it alerted every law enforcement agency that provides school resource offices to its campuses across the county just to make them aware of what is happening. They have stepped up some security at some of those schools. Johnston County Public Schools tells me that they've also received these messages about this since this has been seen all over the state, all over the country, and that at this point, they do not have any credible threat to the school. The sheriff in Chatham County also posted about it on social media, saying it is a non-specific threat being passed around the state and other states. The sheriff there said deputies would be at the schools to make sure everyone feels safe. But at this point, again, this is a very vague threat being passed on social media across the country. No direct threat to any of the schools here. We continue to work to learn more about this threat throughout the afternoon here.
Matt Tallhelm reporting live from Wake School's headquarters in Cary. We may finally get a weekend without a whole lot of rain. The last time we had a dry Saturday and Sunday was back in March. There's still a small chance for some showers, but keep those outdoor plans. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the latest run of Futurecast.
Here's a look at what's happening right now. Good bit of rain associated with this system that we've been tracking all week, knowing that it was coming our way for the weekend, possibly making it the ninth weekend in a row with wet weather. It is bringing some significant rain to parts of Georgia and Alabama, parts of the Deep South. We've had some strong thunderstorms there along the Gulf Coast. But this is what it looks like for us on Saturday. Instead of all of that really rushing toward our area, the progress of it is slowing down. It looks like that warm front's going to stay to our south and west and hold that rain there. So this is tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You can see partly cloudy skies, and it remains partly cloudy through lunchtime. After lunchtime, we really begin to cloud up a little bit more. There's still some holes in the clouds, but notice the little green blobs that pop up. There's not a lot of rain there, but there is the chance of an isolated shower here or there at any point, at any portion of the viewing area, all through the afternoon and the evening. Again, as Renee said, I wouldn't cancel any plans because of it, but if you are going to be outside at a festival, I would just have the raincoat or the umbrella handy. I think those showers would move through very quickly if you even see one. Sunday at 8 a.m., we're seeing some clouds in the south, some sunshine in the north. This is lunchtime. A good chunk of Sunday looks like it's going to stay fairly dry. But watch what happens as we get into the evening. We begin to see some thunderstorms dropping in from the north and west. Some of those as early as 5 or 6 o'clock in our northern counties. And then we have this stronger band of thunderstorms potentially that comes through during dinner time. This is 8 p.m. And this is the first look at our high resolution model all the way out to 8 o'clock on Sunday. Now, it's possible that this is a bit overdone, but we certainly have the potential to have some scattered thunderstorms late afternoon and evening. Keep checking back. We take a look at the forecast for the weekend. Definitely a chance of an isolated thunderstorm or a shower Saturday or Sunday.
Many of you are still taking advantage of a strong job market. Last month's employment numbers are in, and they were a pleasant surprise. WRL's Brian Schrader is here to explain why it's not all good news, though, Brian.
Jeff, let's start with those numbers, and they do tell a good story about how easy it is to get a job in the United States right now. The U.S. economy added 253,000 jobs in April. That is way above the forecast of 180,000 jobs. Also, the unemployment rate dropped to 3.4%, which is tied for the lowest level since 1969. Now, the not-so-good news. Those strong numbers reflect an ongoing labor shortage that is driving up wages, up 4.4% over last April. Higher wages mean higher prices and more inflation. UNC Chapel Hill economist Christian Lundblad says that will make it hard for the Fed to cut interest rates at its next meeting.
I think they're likely to be flat. The disconnect that I see with the market is not necessarily how much higher the Fed is going to go. It's how much longer the Fed is going to stay where kind of where it is.
Now, the Fed also has to consider the recent trouble with some banks and layoffs in other industries, and also the evidence that we've seen recently that the economy has been slowing in the first part of this year. We'll get another inflation report later this month, and then the Fed meets in mid-June to talk about interest rates. And the economist there was saying, Jeff, that it may not be a question of how much higher interest rates go, but how much longer the Fed will keep those higher interest rates in place.
All right, Brian, thanks for the update. We know the immediate effect of that turns to Wall Street right now. And that strong jobs report means a strong reaction on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just moments ago was up at the 400 mark. It's up 371 right now. S&P 500 is up 60 points this noon, and the NASDAQ is up 212 points right now.
Former North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn will pay a $250 fine for carrying a loaded gun into Charlotte Douglas International Airport. He pled guilty today to possession of a dangerous weapon on city property before trial was set to begin. Prosecutors had asked to confiscate the gun, but the judge agreed the city ordinance does not grant that power. The TSA found a gun in Cawthorn's luggage at the Charlotte airport back in April 2022. New restrictions on abortion in our state will take effect later this year unless something unexpected happens. Today, the bill heads to Governor Roy Cooper's desk. The bill would ban most abortions after 12 weeks. The Senate approved it last night. The House approved it on Wednesday. Governor Cooper says he will veto it.
Look, right-wing politicians don't belong in the exam room with women and their doctors. They can't be trusted. Together, let's stop this dangerous abortion ban.
The GOP has the votes to override Cooper's veto. The only way it could be upheld is if at least one Republican in the House and another in the Senate chose to buck their party.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following reports of two small plane crashes in North Carolina, two separate planes. This is the first one. This is just outside of Charlotte in the Catawba River. The plane was found upside down, partially submerged, as you can see there. Police say a pilot and passenger were both found and are both okay. It is not clear what led to that crash. Also not clear what led to another crash. This is a live look here in Greenville. The plane crashed into the Tar River right near the Pitt-Greenville Airport. That one also carrying two people. They were seen outside of that plane waving their hands in the air to a local nearby helicopter. It did go down about a mile short of the runway at the airport there. Again, all passengers on both of these planes are okay.
We'll have to wait to find out if a New Yorker who placed a homeless man in a chokehold will be charged in that man's death. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office says it is reviewing the medical examiner's report, and Stephanie Goss tells us they'll conduct interviews before making a decision.
This morning, calls for charges to be filed are growing louder. 4 days after 30-year-old Jordan Neely was killed on a New York City subway, the medical examiner ruling his death a homicide by chokehold. An attorney for his family spoke with NBC News.
It would be incredible to me if the outcome of this was no charge, because how can you say that it's okay for someone to strangle someone?
New York's governor calling the actions on the train an extreme response.
Just looking at that video, you know it's wrong. No one has the right to take the life of another person.
The city's mayor cautioning against a rush to judgment.
I have faith in the criminal justice system and I'm going to let the process take its place.
In a cell phone video taken during the brawl, a 24-year-old man is seen holding Neely in a chokehold. Several other passengers also helped pin him down. EMTs were unable to revive the 30-year-old, a known street performer who the NYPD says was homeless at the time. The witness who took the video said Neely was acting aggressively when he got on the subway, saying he was hungry, he was thirsty, that he didn't care about anything. He didn't care about going to jail. He didn't care that he gets a big life sentence. It doesn't even matter if I died. The attorney for the family says Neely struggled with mental health issues since his mother was killed when he was 14 years old, but adds having a bad day doesn't justify violence. Police have not publicly identified the men involved, but say they did question and release the one who had Neely in a chokehold. Neely's aunt says her nephew will be remembered for his talent and love of dancing, adding the family wants justice. For protesters outside the district attorney's office, justice means criminal charges.
Where is the justice? How does justice look in 2023?
Stephanie Gosk reporting, and reducing New York City's homelessness and crime have both been a primary focus of Mayor Adams' agenda. He and the governor sent outreach workers into the community and have stepped up police presence on subways.
The family of a Raleigh man who died at the hands of police is calling for the officers to be fired. In less than an hour, Daryl Williams' family will hold a news conference. They plan to give an update about a meeting they had with the district attorney concerning an investigation into Raleigh PD's tactics. Williams died January 17th after officers used a taser on him multiple times. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is working with the family. COVID-19 is no longer a global health emergency. The World Health Organization made that declaration this morning. It confirms what many of us know as we here in the U.S. and many other countries return to normal lives. The WHO Director General said the pandemic has been on a downward trend for more than a year. He says COVID-19 is evolving and remains a health threat, just at a lower level of concern. The U.S. is letting its COVID-19 public health emergency end on May 11th.
Taking to London right now, this is a live look here where the country is just waiting hours away from the coronation of King Charles III as the King of the United Kingdom and the 14 Commonwealths. And this coronation will differ greatly from the coronation of the late Queen Elizabeth II. There'll be a shorter parade route, smaller guest lists, invitations printed on recycled cards, and the involvement of religious leaders from different faiths. However, King Charles will wear the same royal regalia as the late former queen. Ken Smith has been following this right from the start. This is the exciting time now, Ken. Huh?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, it's understandably a very exciting time in the UK. After all, it's been 70 years since the coronation happened. Now, the weather could be a factor. We'll get to that in a minute. But take a look at what happened this morning on what the Brits call the Mall near Buckingham Palace. King Charles and other members of the royal family paid a surprise visit to fans already lined up for the coronation. You can see the king shaking hands and having a laugh or two with the crowd. Also, Prince William made an appearance on the Mall as well. He, too, greeted well-wishers and took pictures with fans. The prince was joined by his wife, Princess Kate, who delighted the crowd talking and shaking hands as well. But I mentioned the weather. After that surprise visit, fans got drenched. And forecasters say the weather isn't looking good for tomorrow. Rain is in the forecast most of the day. The word is there's a 50-50 chance that some festivities could be canceled. We'll have to wait and see. Now, First Lady Jill Biden also had her umbrella handy as she met with the Prime Minister's wife. The two visited a London elementary school for a coronation-themed lunch, Jeff.
Oh, it should be great, Ken. Thanks for that update. And also, in honor of the occasion, a giant bejeweled crown is on display in London. This is a replica of St. Edward's crown, which will be used during the coronation. The crown is 16 feet high. It's the size of a truck, right? It weighs more than 650 pounds, has 36 different colored glass stones. The giant replica also includes lights, which create a stunning display at night. The crown will be on display a short time near Hyde Park, right, until next Thursday. And tomorrow morning, WREL will carry NBC's coronation coverage from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. Our local news will air 6 to 8 on Fox 50, and then after the special coverage on WREL.
Still ahead at noon, new video of police body cameras searching the Idaho murder suspect's apartment. what was found belonging to the man accused of killing four college students last year.
Also, jerseys stolen from the NFL draft, the arrests made in the case, and what the people were doing in Kansas City last week.
Plus, a woman died in a Harnett County house fire this morning. Why firefighters are still on that scene.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, there's a big game tonight at PNC Arena, and the Carolina Hurricanes, they are hoping they can replicate game two just like they did game one. But they also know that New Jersey is going to come out much stronger in game two. The Canes, they've been good at home in the postseason, 3-1 at PNC. But the guys hope that the Caniacs inside PNC Arena can really give them the boost they need. We spoke to a player earlier today. Take a listen.
It's definitely a jump, a jolt that we need. Starting with home ice, and you want to get those two wins. Start a series 2-0, and I think this building helps us a lot. It's a tough building to play in, and it's very loud. And I appreciate our fans giving it all every night, and giving us that energy that we need.
Game two of round two is tonight at PNC Arena. Puck drops at 8 p.m.
Thanks, Michelle. NFL is now the subject of an investigation into allegations of workplace discrimination. Attorneys general for New York and California are working on this case. It comes after several lawsuits were filed alleging bias, sexual harassment, and a hostile work environment. Subpoenas have already been issued to NFL executives. Investigators are said to be focusing on corporate offices and not specific players or teams. Two University of Southern California students are charged with stealing three NFL jerseys during the NFL draft in Kansas City. Police say the pair stole a blue Dallas Cowboys jersey, a red San Francisco 49ers jersey, and a Minnesota Vikings jersey. Each had the number one on it to signify being a first-round selection. The two students had credentials as part of USC's School for Communication and Journalism.
More bizarre weather in Southern California. A storm brought snow, rain, and tornadoes. This is a look at some of the damage left behind. The storm tore up the roof of a large warehouse. Two small tornadoes touched down, both EF0s. No injuries reported. As for the snow, people living in the mountain region there got up to 4 inches. Mm. It's May 5th, and they're getting snow. Now, they've had such a rough winter and now a rough spring.
And tornado in Southern California. That is odd.
Right. And I kind of feel like we are having California weather in terms of temperatures, right? Just nice and mild in the 70s. It's beautiful today.
Kind of be like San Diego right now out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with that nice look down in Southern Pines.
Yeah, and the real key to it is our low humidity. We've had such low humidity all week, so it does not feel anything like our summertime. Now, that's going to change by the beginning of the week. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. But a glorious day to be outside on the golf course or whatever it is you love to do outside. Get out there and do it. And you should be able to do that over the weekend as well. Tomorrow in particular, our humidity stays low, but we do add a chance of just an isolated shower during the afternoon. We're at almost 70 degrees right now. We're going to climb into the mid-70s as we get into the mid to late afternoon. Expect 76 in Raleigh, 75 in Durham, and 79 in Fayetteville as our high temperatures this afternoon. We're talking about the hurricane just a minute ago, and of course, it looks like it's going to be a great evening tonight for tailgating. At 5 o'clock, 76 degrees. Tonight's game is at 8, and instead of 7. It'll be 67 at that point, but we'll see partly cloudy skies through the evening, and at 10 o'clock, temperatures will be in the low 60s as folks are coming out of the arena. 77 is our normal high, so we'll be pretty close to that for the next 3 days. But then our pattern changes Monday and Tuesday. It's going to get hotter, it's going to be more humid, and we also have a chance for some scattered thunderstorms. You can see what happens with our dew points over the next few days. 44 today, feeling very comfortable. 52 also feels good. We get into the 60s, and you're going to start to notice the difference. So it feels a little sticky on Sunday, and we have the chance of some scattered thunderstorms. We'll have enough moisture in the atmosphere for some storms late in the day. And then Monday and Tuesday, another chance of some scattered storms with it feeling more like summer humidity. Here's again a look at where the rain is right now. At one point, the models were really pushing all of this into North Carolina Saturday and Sunday, but it looks like the front is going to move a lot more slowly. It's going to keep the rain just to our south and west with just enough moisture for an isolated shower during the afternoon tomorrow.
Here's 6 o'clock in the morning. Here's lunchtime. Notice how we cloud up a bit at lunchtime. And then afternoon, we begin to see a few isolated showers popping up. It's not likely to be widespread. If you do find yourself outside, though, away from, you know, fairly far from your car, you may want to have the umbrella tucked into a bag somewhere. At 8 a.m. on Sunday, we'll see variably cloudy skies. Sunday may be a little cloudier than Saturday. We have the potential for some scattered storms to begin late in the afternoon and possibly a line of storms. I feel like this is possibly overdone. This is our first look at the high resolution model. So I would like to see the next run to see if we're really going to end up with that line of thunderstorms. It may be just more scattered activity. On Saturday, it's Smithfield Ham and Yam, and we're a proud sponsor of that. Looking much better weather-wise. Mid-70s in the afternoon with just a small chance of a shower popping up. And here's a look at our 7-day forecast. 80 degrees on Sunday. Most of Sunday right now looks dry. It would be evening thunderstorms that would be possible, but some scattered storms both Monday and Tuesday. After that moves out, though, it looks like we're going to dry out a little bit and humidity may fall just a touch.
Quite the roller coaster of temperatures there for the coming week. Elizabeth, thank you. Today on WRL News at 5, we'll share this week's restaurant ratings, find out where health inspectors found expired food, and much worse.
Also tonight at 6, only on WRAL, a story of perseverance and support as the Raleigh Fire Department celebrates a big win. And still ahead this noon, a new poll finds some Americans feel that they're a little worried about their money in banks in the U.S. Still to come, what's most concerning for customers about their finances in regulated institutions?
Plus, Google is getting ready to put out a new smartphone, how it compares to other Google phones, and when you can get your hands on the new one.
And welcome back this noon. It's partly cloudy, mostly sunny above Lake Gaston. Look at this. Boats are lined up out there. That is great. And there are calm ripples on the lake right there. Beautiful this noon. Your child's bed could be part of an urgent recall. It involves twin bunk beds made by Walker Edison Furniture. There have been 14 cases where the bunk bed slats have broken. One person was hurt. The beds are sold online through Walmart, Home Depot, Amazon, and other retailers. If you have these, stop using them and contact Walker Edison for a free repair kit. For more information on this recall and others, you can go to WRL.com/recall. Macy's plans to open more stores in strip malls in the months ahead. The retailer plans to add 5 more of the smaller locations. It has already opened 10 of those stores. Market by Macy's or Bloomie's stores are about 1/5 the size of the typical Macy's or Bloomingdale's store. Locations offer a smaller selection of popular brands, and they're rotated frequently to stay fresh. Early results for the concept are promising. The smaller stores have been outperforming the rest of the company.
Some people say they're not comfortable about keeping their money in banks. A new Gallup poll reveals almost 50% of Americans do not trust the U.S. banking system. Many of the people feel very concerned about the security of their money. The results were taken after 2 federal bank collapses and just before First Republic's bank was seized by regulators. Among those surveyed included adults with lower income, people without a college degree, as well as some Republicans. What do Olive Garden and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse have in common? Both chains now have the same owner. In a new agreement, the Olive Garden's parent company agreed to buy former fine dining Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. The all-cash deal is worth $715 million. The company believes sales at fine dining restaurants will exceed sales at casual dining places over the next few years. The average check at Ruth's Chris, $97. The average check spent at Olive Garden, $21.
Peloton has discovered a defect with the seat on its entry-level bike. So far, the company has received about a dozen reports of injuries. The company says the problem involves the part that attaches the saddle to the frame. In some cases, the post can break at the weld joint. The bikes were sold between 2014 and 2020. It's working with the Consumer Product Safety Commission on a fix, but no formal recall has been announced. Well, rumors are true. Google will launch its first foldable phone during its developers conference next week. The company unveiled the Pixel Fold in a short teaser video on YouTube. It shows a full-size outer display that opens up to a tablet, similar to Samsung Galaxy Fold. The Pixel Fold is expected to cost more than $1,700.
A transformer phone?
Yeah.
A family is grieving after a large fire tore through a home in Harnett County. Coming up, what we've learned about the person who died inside that house.
Plus, some doctors say AI is detecting signs of breast cancer years before doctors could have found it. One patient shares her story after the break. And hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Raleigh Police Department says they responded to an assault on the Greenway at Lake Johnson Park this morning. This is the suspect here. This is David Hoyle. Police were called. He was quickly arrested and taken into custody and also charged with sexual battery. The female victim did not sustain any serious injuries. Police say this investigation is ongoing, but they are reminding people if you do want to walk or run on the Greenway, do it with a companion if you can. Always be aware of your surroundings and never wear headphones.
Michelle, thanks. Samples from the apartment rented by the man charged with killing four University of Idaho students tested positive for blood. NBC's Aaron McLaughlin explains. The results come as Washington State University released videos and court documents related to the search of the suspect's home.
Police department search warrant. Come to the door.
This morning, newly released police body cam video showing officers at Brian Koberger's Washington State apartment on December 30th.
Show yourself. We have a search warrant for the building.
Earlier that same night, on the other side of the country, Koberger was arrested at his family home in Pennsylvania. According to police documents obtained by NBC affiliate KTVB through a public records request, different parts of Koberger's Washington State apartment tested positive for blood, including a mattress cover on the bed, described as having a brown irregular drip. KTVB also reports that there were also two separate stains on an uncased pillow on the south side of the bed. According to the documents, one had traces of blood. What's not clear is who that blood belonged to. Authorities previously revealing a laundry list of other items taken from the apartment that night, including a chemical-resistant black glove, multiple hair strands, and possible animal hair cuttings. Police also seizing a number of electronic devices. Koberger was arrested in late December and charged with the stabbing murders of Zana Kernodle, Ethan Chapin, Maddie Mogan, and Kaylee Gonzalez. All of them were students at the University of Idaho. A month before the murders, Koberger was involved in a traffic stop on the campus of Washington State University, where he was a graduate student. Body camera video of that run-in also released overnight.
I think you know why I stopped you. You ran the red light.
What actually happened was I was stuck in the middle of the intersection.
Yeah, so I was behind you the whole time.
The video showing a distressed Koberger in his white Hyundai Elantra, the same car authorities later seized from his family's home. The officer explaining he was blocking an intersection and ran a red light, both ticketable offenses.
What would the appropriate thing for me to have done?
He was eventually let go with a warning.
Never even occurred to me that that was actually something wrong.
Koberger is in jail in Idaho without bail. He has yet to enter a plea in the case.
One person is dead after a massive house fire in Harnett County. It happened around 1 this morning on Red Hill Church Road in Irwin. WRL's Michael Grace reports firefighters aren't likely to stay on that scene for a while longer.
Yeah, that's right. And it's mainly going to be a busy scene like this the rest of the day. It's also been an extremely emotional day. Family members of the homeowner are actually here right now. We've seen them crying, embracing each other. I spoke to one of them who said that this was her grandmother's house, and I can only imagine the emotion that she's going through right now. Now, we know so far that, as you said, this fire started around 1 in the morning. It took 4 different crews about an hour to get it under control. At one point, the roof of this house collapsed. It caught 2 cars on fire as well, completely destroyed. Now, there was one person who died. There was another who was able to make it out alive. We're still working to find out their identities. We also know Red Cross is here assisting with the person who made it out alive. And we're going to continue to keep you updated as soon as authorities release more details. In Harnett County, Michael Grace, WREL News.
We're trying to find out the names and conditions of two drivers involved in a crash on Capitol Boulevard. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene this morning at the intersection near Durant Road. Investigators tell us the car ran a red light and a UPS truck ran into it.
More than 6,000 people's personal information in Raleigh could be at risk. The FBI, Secret Service, and the National Guard are investigating a ransomware attack at the Raleigh Housing Authority. Officials say they were locked out of their computer systems yesterday morning. The Housing Authority's new CEO, Ashley Lommers Johnson, says he and his staff immediately called law enforcement. 24 hours later, they are still searching for answers.
Front end of this, trying to still find out what happened. We don't know the extent of the breach. We don't know a whole lot.
The cyber attack shut down the online payment system and the application portal for new housing. Officials still don't know exactly what information was stolen or when things will return to normal. For now, residents can make payments in person, and if you have a maintenance request, you'll need to complete it over the phone.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Lee, Johnston, and Orange counties. Students at Central Carolina Community College in Lee County will soon see their campus grow. The college is getting a state loan of nearly $8 million. The money will help the school buy 22 acres of land with existing buildings. The college will also use the money to help build a facility for training students to drive trucks. The county will pay the loan back with tax revenue and other money sources. You're invited to a big bash tonight to celebrate the newly renovated Neuse River Amphitheater in Smithfield. And it's free. The town is hosting a concert featuring local band Bad Decisions. It's at 7 o'clock tonight. There's a ribbon cutting before the concert. The renovations include new seating, handicap accessibility, a rebuilt stage, a new roof, new wiring and lighting, and improved drainage. Speaking of free concerts, there is one tonight in Carrboro as well. It's the first of eight free Friday evening performances. The Freight Train Blues Concert Series celebrates the life and legacy of Piedmont blues legend Elizabeth Libba Cotton. She was born in Carrboro in 1893. The first concert is at 6:30 tonight at Carrboro Town Common.
May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Yes, it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's the perfect time to share with you stories of remarkable AAPI North Carolinians. Tonight on WRL News, get to know our area's first Asian American police chief.
We all take pride in representing something. You know, as a person with Asian American heritage, by all means, as people come up, you know, I get Asian Americans that want take their selfies with me or take a picture with me. And you know, yeah, that makes me proud to know that there's a group of people out there that I represent, you know, at the level I am as the police chief now.
Chief Kim Braden is 90 days in as Fayetteville's top cop. I talked with him about his experience rising through the ranks. Hear why he doesn't want being a first to define what he plans to do as chief. Watch his story tonight at 5:30.
Artificial intelligence may be a tough concept to embrace with concerns about it taking over human jobs, but AI could also help save your life. How it's detecting early signs of cancer that radiologists miss.
And let's be honest, we spend a lot of time on our devices. It's especially a problem for children and teens. Ways to help them break the addiction and find a healthier balance with technology and living their lives.
Some doctors believe artificial intelligence is saving lives after a major advancement in breast cancer screening. Caroline Elliott explains how AI is now detecting early signs of the disease, and in some cases, years before doctors would have found it on a scan.
It tells me that there's one finding on this image.
Artificial intelligence is flagging breast cancers that are so small.
You can see here.
They could go undetected on a traditional screening.
And what was surprising is that we have a practice with 9 dedicated breast radiologists, all fellowship trained. All we do is read breast imaging studies. And so I thought, you know, we were probably pretty good at what we were doing. But this study really comes and shows us that even the dedicated and committed breast radiologists can do better utilizing artificial intelligence.
The profound AI made by iCAD studied millions of breast cancer scans and over time learned to circle problem areas on mammograms.
It had a 23% increase in cancer detection. and no change in our recalls.
The Lynn Women's Health and Wellness Institute offers one of the earliest studies on AI's impact on cancer. Doctors say AI may have actually saved Luz Torres's life.
I came in on April 1st for my routine mammography, no symptoms. Had that done within a week's time, and then I got a phone call that the pathology was breast cancer.
She was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer in early April and just went through surgery to remove the small tumor. But all things considered, she's looking at an easier recovery.
It looks good. Again, because it was caught early stage 1, I won't need chemotherapy, so I'm very happy about that.
Early detection, so key. That was Caroline Elliott reporting. Doctors are also using AI to detect lung cancer, brain cancer, and prostate cancer.
Tomorrow is the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. It's happening at the Boxyard in RTP. The festival area opens at 7 with the opening ceremony at 8:30 a.m. The Race for the Cure raises money for the fight against breast cancer. It's not too late for you to join Team WRL to help make an impact. Come on out and you can see Mike Mays. He'll be out there. WRL is a proud sponsor of this event.
When you step away, you realize there's a lot more there for you.
Coming up today, millions of Americans will unplug to reconnect. How some schools are cultivating a positive digital culture on campus.
Plus, a well-known treat is getting some new branding. The purpose behind the new look on Skittles packs.
Today marks the 4th annual Digital Wellness Day. It's a day aimed at putting down your devices and focusing on improving your relationship with technology. Jeff Paul explains the event is being recognized as concerns grow over what many consider a mental health crisis fueled in part by social media.
On any given day, kids 8 to 18 spend anywhere from 6 to 9 hours in front of a screen. And according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, that doesn't include the time spent in front of a computer at school or for homework. Multiple studies have shown the increased time spent on social media is at least partially to blame for an uptick in bullying, depression, self-harm, and suicide among teens. Many health advocates, teachers, and parents now see this as a mental health crisis.
Hopefully we can get some accountability and maybe we can get some controls in place.
Congress is taking steps to do just that. Last week, a bipartisan group of senators introduced legislation aimed at banning kids under 13 from using any social media. Taking it one step further, they're proposing new users under 18 would need parental permission to join any platform.
By instituting these simple, straightforward guidelines, we'll be able to give the next generation of children what every parent wants for their child, which is a chance to grow up happy and healthy.
And it's not just younger teens. College students report decreased ability to sleep, focus, and be productive, partially due to device overuse, according to the 2021 National College Health Assessment. To combat that, students and faculty at Virginia Tech are leading the way in cultivating a positive digital culture on campus. The school was named the first certified digitally well university, following a challenge to reduce tech overuse and help students foster healthy relationships with their devices.
It's impacting our students' ability to connect with one another, which of course establishes their sense of belonging at their institution. It impacts their focus, their ability to retain information academically.
Nearly three quarters of students who participated reported behavior changes.
When you step away, you realize there's a lot more there for you.
And that was Jeff Paul reporting. The Digital Wellness Institute says it hopes more universities across the country will follow suit to help students live healthier lives. Now, we are very well aware that you're watching us on a screen right now. We say just stick with us for 10 more minutes. Then you can unplug and get out in this beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's certainly, I guess at this point, it's not going away, right? So we have to figure out a way to make it well for us. Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center, this day will do it for us to get outside.
I've got more blue skies Surprised to share you here, Goldsboro Apex. This is our Fayetteville newsroom at Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We had a little bit of cloud cover earlier this morning, but almost every camera is showing blue skies right now. Once we get to mid to late this afternoon, we'll probably have a little bit more cloud cover that rolls in, but today is likely to stay dry. Tomorrow afternoon, we may end up with a few scattered showers. We do have some changes to our forecast that developed over the last 12 hours or so. We are continuing to trend drier. We started that trend yesterday, continued that last night and this morning. Our front here is slowing down. It's likely to hold back here to the south and keep most of the rain with it for Saturday. A lot of that moisture stays south, but Sunday we'll have a different system that rolls in that could bring us a chance of some scattered storms fairly late in the day. The end of this warm front right here is producing some scattered thunderstorms down here across the lower Mississippi Valley and along the Gulf Coast. High pressure is still in control of our weather, keeping things nice and dry for us. Here's a look at Saturday. We'll wake up to partly cloudy skies, but by lunchtime, we'll begin to cloud up, and there will be a few isolated showers that pop up. So if you're headed to Ham and Yam Festival, the Apex Peak Fest, somewhere outside and you're not too close to your car, just make sure you grab your umbrella and take it with you. These showers are tiny. They'll move through very quickly. Most of us won't see them, but I don't want you to get caught off guard. So expect to see one or two of those during the afternoon tomorrow, but certainly not a washout. Sunday morning, we'll see increasing clouds, and Sunday also looks on the cloudy-ish side. We're likely to stay dry until late afternoon into the evening. You'd see this first band of showers starts to move through around 5 to 6 p.m. up to the north. Could be some embedded thunderstorms here. And this version of FutureCast, this is our first run of our in-house high-resolution model. And this is a pretty beefy-looking line that shows up. I wouldn't be surprised if the next run we get, which Mike and Kat will show you this evening, may be a little bit lighter, maybe a little more scattered instead of looking like a line that goes through our viewing area during the evening. So keep checking back for more on how these thunderstorms are going to develop and move through on Sunday. Our potential for rainfall continues to be fairly low through Sunday evening, likely to see a tenth of an inch or less. Komen Race for the Cure is tomorrow morning, and Mike Mays will be there, actually. If you're going to be there, stop by and say hello to him. Racers begin at 9 a.m., 62 degrees. We'll see partly cloudy skies, and it won't be until after lunchtime before we begin to see an isolated shower popping up. Spring commencement is tomorrow as well. All these are morning experiences. 59 at Central, 63 at NC State at 9 a.m. and at St. Augen Methodist, 68 at 10 a.m. So 8 a.m. Central is early at 8 a.m. But the weather looks great for all of the graduation ceremonies. And there's another round next weekend. We'll have the forecast for those. So Monday and Tuesday, a chance of scattered showers and storms, and then drier by the middle of the week. We'll be right back with your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Many public and private schools across the state are stepping up security because of a vague social media threat. Schools in Wake, Johnston, and Chatham counties have been notified about the post and are responding to it. Several principals posted to social media platforms to remind people that there are serious consequences for making threats against the schools.
Former North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn will pay a $250 fine for carrying a loaded gun into Charlotte Douglas International Airport. He pleaded guilty today to possession of a dangerous weapon on city property before trial was set to begin. The TSA found a gun in Cawthorn's luggage at the airport in April of last year. For the second year, Skittles has partnered with five LGBTQ plus artists to advocate for others. The new packs will replace the brand's signature rainbow. Each tells a visual story of pride. $1 from each sold, up to $100,000, will go to the organization GLAAD. June marks 51 years since the Stonewall Uprising in New York City, which helped spark the modern gay rights movement.
Our pet of the day is feeling like a brand new man, and now he is ready to find a brand new family. Sunny is a 2-year-old dog, weighs 57 pounds. Sunny just had the major shave down of his life. He came into the SPCA of Wake County with severe matting all over his body. It took three people an hour and a half to remove all that hair. Looked like a bearskin rug there. Sunny is easygoing, good with other dogs, loves to play, and interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Now go unplug for a little bit. We'll see you back at 4. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.